It's time we have our weekly chat with Flo Tess, your first lady of the Aegean sports scene, getting it done for KEZI Sports Channel 709 on your Comcast system. Catch up online. Visit KEZI.com. You could follow along on Twitter. Use the handle Kristen E. Rogers. Hey, KR. How are you?
Happy Friday, Steve. All is good. It's about to be a busy weekend here in Eugene. A lot of sports coming up.
I'm sure. So last weekend, you made your way up to Moda to see the end, a gruesome end, of the Golden State-Portland series. I think your tweet Monday kind of said it. You'd never seen a quarter of professional basketball quite like that. Domination, quick and painless. Just safe to say, Blazer season ended with quite a whimper.
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, making some jokes, unfortunately, for any Blazer fans out there, but I was saying that, you know, they should have just put a running clock on the last three quarters, because that was rough to watch. I mean, you know, I think at one point I looked at the stats and Golden State was shooting 89% and Portland was shooting 11%. that's nasty. I mean, that's just rude in so many ways. But, you know, it was, I think it kind of speaks to the way that we thought this series was going to go. I mean, we thought, you know, game three had to have been Portland if they wanted to stay in this. But I don't think anyone expected game four to start off that way, because that was something.
That was brutal. Now, when you think about when you lived in the Bay Area at home, your time at USC, working here, Final Fours, bowl games, I thought it was interesting. Despite getting demolished and having the season end with a sweep, the ovation as Lillard left, and, you know, you've been up to Moda. How high up that loyalty passion scale do you find the Portland Trailblazer fans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was tough for that crowd going towards the end, because, I mean, you know, that game was over within the first 5 minutes. And it's, you know, it's hard to just be in there and still trying to, you know, get your team going and trying to root for your team. And, you know, we saw some fans obviously leave at the half. But, you know, I think it really speaks to the fact how much they love Damian Lillard and how much they love some of these players that, you know, they were trying to give them their all and say thank you for the season that they put up. And, you know, talking with the players after, you know, I think someone brought up the fact, or tried to bring up the fact, that they're a young team. And Damian was like, look, we've been young all season. That's a non-factor for this team at this point. You know, this team has, you know, learned their lessons, and they're ready to take it forward to the next season.
Let's get to the Niners. I know you're a big San Francisco fan. And to aggravate Nick and not you, I said San Francisco and not Frisco. They obviously pulled the plug on Chip Kelly after a year, and they got a new general manager, John Lynch. And obviously, it's way too early for a proper evaluation. But based on last night, at least for fans, reason for optimism?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, in their press conference, they were saying that they got two of their three top guys, and I think that's great, you know? I think Steve Mims from the Register Guard tweeted this out, but it's so true. They are putting together like an all Pac-12 defense right now. I mean, you have Solomon Thomas, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner. I mean, they look good back there. And obviously Reuben Foster, you know, coming in as a linebacker from Alabama. So they're really solidifying the defense, which I think was obviously a huge area that that the Niners needed to shore up on. But, you know, I think the fact that they're confident and they say that they did exhaustive work to, you know, to pick these guys, I think that looks good. You know, they're making good moves now. And I think that at least gives some Niner fans some hope heading into next season, considering how bad all the stats were after the 2016 season.
Let's get to Oregon football. You posted a bunch of video from yesterday, start with Coach Taggart. And during the press session, you actually asked the first couple of questions. So what is he hoping to see tomorrow? And does he have kind of the same approach to the spring game here as he did when he was running the show at South Florida?
Yeah, you know, I think that was actually my biggest question, was how different this was going to look, because, you know, obviously things are run differently at South Florida than they are at Oregon. But no, he says it's going to be same thing. He does want a game-like environment. And I actually just tweeted out the rosters, if you guys want to go take a look there, for Team Brave versus Team Free. I personally think it's a little one-sided, but we'll see how things go tomorrow. But no, I mean, you know, Taggart really just wants to see evaluation. You know, he wants to evaluate literally every position on the field. There's no one position where he feels like he can name a starter. And I think that goes back to the fact that, you know, none of these guys have those single-digit jerseys. He thinks guys are on track to earn those back and to be, you know, the guy at that position. But right now, he just wants evaluation for everyone. And I think that's good because, you know, these guys are, there's been some trash talk with the coaches, there's been some trash talk with the players, you know, there's a lot of hype going into the spring game, but more than anything, these guys are taking it seriously. They're loose, but they are taking it seriously because they know this is going to be a big chance of evaluation for all of them tomorrow.
You were also part of the gathering with Coach Leavitt, and in a stunning development, he's very excited about tomorrow. But the follow-up was interesting. While he didn't discount the importance of the spring session, he says the work his guys will do over the summer is just as critical.
Yeah, you know, I think that's completely true. You know, you can only do so much during spring ball, and I think you know, if you want to take a look at and break it up into what happened before spring ball, and then the off season and fall camp, I mean, there's different goals that you want to achieve at each time. You know, before coming into spring ball, you know, Taggart's biggest thing was he wanted the coaches to get to know the players. You know, not so much the players get to know the coaches yet, but he wanted the players to trust that these coaches were genuinely interested in them. Coming into spring ball, it's kind of the same thing. You know, he really wants these coaches to get to know each other. He wants the coaches to get onto the same page on how they practice and how they develop. He wants the players to get into the scheme more. You know, obviously some brand new stuff being thrown their way. They want to get the base of what's happening there. Summer is when players can, you know, put on a couple pounds, because I know a lot of these guys want to start putting on weight. But get into the weight room and then really bond together. I mean, all of the stuff that you see in summer is all player-driven workouts. Probably the best example of it was, you know, when I covered USC, we as the media were allowed to cover every single summer workout for these guys. And, you know, they would, you know, go out at 7 a.m. in the morning. And back then it was Cody Kessler who was leading the group. But, you know, we get texts from the players to go out and watch them. And, you know, you can see that camaraderie develop because they are out there without the coaches. And, you know, Taggart made a big point of that this team didn't like each other when Taggart took over, that he felt like there was a huge disconnect. And he mentioned yesterday, you know, that he feels like guys aren't hiding anymore, that he's seeing them hang out together in the locker room and, you know, eating lunch together. And, you know, things are definitely taking a good turn. They're on a good trajectory. But now coming into the off season, I mean, this is on the players. This is where they can show that they want to succeed because they have to put in the effort.
Good stuff. Interesting take. Talking Duck football with Kristen Rogers of KEZI Sports. Some solid videos, by the way, on the site, folks. Go to KEZI.com. I want to get to Arian Springs. He had some great takes about who's doing the trash talking leading up to the spring game and how the staff this year is more demanding as far as areas where they know they've got to improve. Would that be an accurate read?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you talk about the trash talk. Yeah, I've heard from multiple players that the coaches are the ones that are doing the majority of the trash talking. And, I mean, I think you see it on the field. And Arian was asked about this, how he could try to differentiate the coaching staff now versus the coaching staff last year. And he said that these coaches are just, they like to have fun with each other. That, yes, obviously they are taking practice seriously and they take what they do seriously. But, you know, last year Arian said that, you know, the coaches were, you know, all business, that there was no kind of joy out on the field. But that is not the case. And I mean, we can see it too. You know, I remember Joe Salavea had that scoop and score, you know, last week. And I have never seen a team just get so amped. I mean, they were, you know, cheering and all the coaches were going after him. I mean, these coaches act like players in terms of the fact that they're creating this great team camaraderie and chemistry for the Ducks right now. And I think that's been really awesome to see.
All right, let's get to Oregon softball. Wasn't that long ago, Ducks Beeve was kind of a done deal. But Oregon State has stepped up. They were in a regional last year. They have 24 wins this season. And even though the Ducks swept them up there last year, but, you know, the Ducks have dropped 2 of 3 in their last 3 conference series. There's only 9 games left. And who you've been speaking with, safe to say that there's kind of a sense of urgency, and this is a really big Civil War series.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that the Ducks have won 12 straight Civil War matchups, 12 straight Civil War games. And now we're at the point where, and as you mentioned, you know, it's definitely been one-sided in terms of the Ducks, but now we're in a situation where Oregon State has been phenomenal so far this season, especially in conference play, and both teams have something to play for. I mean, Oregon State wants to make the postseason, and Oregon is still fighting to host a Super Regional. I mean, the Ducks are, you know, sixth in the nation. It's the top eight teams that are able to host a Super Regional. And, you know, Oregon has had a really tough time in conference play so far. You know, they're four-time reigning Pac-12 champions, and that's in a big question if that can even happen anymore because of what we've seen so far in conference play. And, you know, a lot of the players that are seniors, this is their last chance. And if they want to, you know, go out, if they want any motivation, they just have to look at the fact that it says Oregon State on the jersey, you know, on their opponent's jerseys, because they're, it's just amping up with the fact that they need this series win and it's a Civil War series.
All right, you mentioned it earlier, but man, with the spring game in softball and Arizona State in town for baseball, you and your KEZI colleagues going to be everywhere this weekend? Where are we going to find
you? We will be everywhere, yes, including Oregon State baseball tonight. We're going to have someone up there, so any Beaver fans listening, yes, we will have content for you too. But no, I mean, it's crazy. Saturday when with the spring game with, you know, every team home, that's always been I was talking to some of the Oregon SADs. It's always the number one game in terms of attendance because, you know, why not go out? And according to our chief meteorologist, Marissa Wallace, and it looks like there's going to be some sun. So it is going to be a perfect day. We just have to will that sun to stay out a little bit longer.
Awesome. She is Kristen Rogers of KEZI Sports on Twitter, at Kristen E. Rogers. I bet I'm going to wish that you get a lot of sleep tonight so you could stay focused and busy all weekend long. Always a pleasure having you, KR. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right.